Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 161 of Nerd Pride Radio. 161 is, I don't know, an integer between 160 and 162? I have no idea. That's how its Wikipedia entry starts. I don't have time to look stuff up because I've got to get moving on this. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, oh no, science nerd goes here, and then gaming nerd. Plus, there's about seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening.
I know.
You should know. How many times have I done this in front of you? Come on. where was I? Seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Oh, as always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like nerd stuff. I'm telling you, I gotta get moving. So, before we get into anything, I gotta tell you a little story. All right. My wife has lost her phone, and she loaned it to Elijah because he was going to an event. He was working the haunted house, and so he needed the phone so that he could let us know when he was done if we needed to bring him home. And ultimately, his brother Aiden wound up going up there as well, and they both worked it, and he wound up riding home with Aiden, so he didn't need a ride. But now, can't find the phone. So he had Mom's phone, now he doesn't have Mom's phone. We have looked everywhere for it. Everywhere.
And if you guys have seen it, please private message Mike.
No. And we can't find this thing anywhere. And so we're at a Scout fundraiser brunch thing this morning, and as we're eating, I think to myself, you know what? If he was riding home with his brother, why didn't I just take the phone from him? Why did we leave him with the phone if Aiden got there and then he didn't know? Wait a minute. I think I did take the phone from him. Damn it. Eli, I have a confession to make. And as soon as I tell him the story, when he got done glaring at me, his first response was to go, Mike was wrong! Because he's funny like that. Now, as it turns out, me thinking that I took it, and now we all have a bunch of false memories about this, about, well, did we take it? When did we pick that phone up? Well, wouldn't I have handed it to you, Lisa? I don't know. I can, and now nobody can figure anything out. We still have no idea where the phone is, because it's just gone. We're going to have to get a new phone, which is fine, because the phone is like 5 years old, maybe six. Wait, no, not like 5 years old. It is 5 years old. At least. So it is an old phone and she really needs to get it replaced. It's a flip phone for God's sake. So it's time. Oh, no, hers isn't the flip phone. This is not the flip phone. This is the step up, but it's still old. It's still 5 years.
Yeah.
Because you got yours right after she got hers.
We got ours at the exact same time.
Yeah. Aiden also has a crappy phone. So anyway, I was wrong apparently. And Eli wanted to make sure that I told you guys that. So now it is time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I write it down in my handy-dandy pocket mod on my master list, which I have right here in my hand, and then the best stuff off of this list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
You lucky dogs. All right, this is going to be a fingertips episode.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips,
All right. Fingertips is when I go through my master list and I just start running through everything that I've got written down here that just hasn't made it to the podcast yet. And some of these I might skip over because they might make big topics later. But we'll just talk about them and see how it goes. So first on my list, virtual reality goggles. Oh, my God. Have you guys tried the virtual reality goggles? They are so cool. Yancey got a set of VR goggles for free when he bought his new phone. He bought it on Father's Day, and they had certain freemiums that he could choose from, and the one he chose was the VR goggles. And so he's brought them to the office, shared them around with everybody, and they're incredible. Now, his are Samsung goggles that only work with Samsung phones, and they've got all this stuff built in so that when you plug in your Samsung Galaxy S6 or S7 to it, you plug in your phone, it clips right into place, it's built exactly for that size of phone, and boom, all the software is already preloaded, and it works right out of the box. For me, if I were to get some VR goggles, which I've put them on my Christmas list at this point, if I were to get some VR goggles, I have to get some that, you know, there's a bunch of different brands that will work with any phone, but, you know, you get what you pay for. You can get anywhere from $11 Google Cardboard, which is literally made of cardboard, all the way up to, you know, $100, $150, $200 VR goggles that do all sorts of special stuff. And I'm looking at sets that I think, you know, like $40-$50, you can get a pretty decent set. And works with any size. It has the decent straps to make sure your phone doesn't go flying across the room when you whip your head around, this kind of stuff. Because the way they work, if you haven't seen them yet, the way they work is you've got this set of goggles that you strap onto your face, and then your phone, your smartphone, just straps on or clips onto the front of the goggles. So your phone is actually the powerhouse that's doing all the work. The goggles is just a plastic shell that has lenses in it that help focus it and then bring it out to a big wraparound screen size. And yeah, and it does. Yeah, you wind up getting separate images for each eye, so you get a full 3D effect. And it is really amazing. Absolutely. So, but you know what? You guys don't need technical specs. What you need is a description of these things. It is, like I say, you've got the goggles, put your smartphone in it, strap it on, and then it is 3D. It is a 3D virtual experience that, you know, I want to compare it to IMAX, but it's bigger than IMAX because it's everywhere. It's everything. And at least the ones that Yancey has are so perfectly responsive that, I turn my head, and I'm turning my head inside this virtual environment, and it's real. I mean, it feels so realistic that the first thing he showed me was his TV room, because apparently the Netflix app comes with a TV room. And so you punch into the Netflix app and you're sitting, it's got you in this virtual room on a virtual couch, and you know, you look off to the one side and there's a stairway going up there. You look off to the other side, there's windows. If you look up, there's a huge skylight. But in front of you, just past the coffee table, is a huge, you know, 80-inch theater screen mounted on the wall. And so, you know, again, it's just on your smartphone from where you're sitting. It looks like you're sitting in front of a giant screen TV. You might as well be. And then you punch up Netflix, and anything you can watch on Netflix, you can watch on this giant personal theater. And it's amazing. And so I wind up, you know, I'm looking around the room, and I didn't actually watch anything, but I see the screen there, and, you know, I look down, I'm like, okay, I'm sitting on the couch, all right, my body's invisible, that's a little disconcerting, but I'm sitting on a couch, and then I look out, and there's a coffee table there, and on the coffee table is a TV remote control, and the TV remote control has a big Netflix button on it, and I thought, oh, well, that's convenient, let's see what that does, and I swear to you guys, I reached out to grab the remote, and wound up slamming my wrist so hard against my desk that I bruised it, because I forgot that that's right, none of this is real. Oh, God darn it. I mean, it's so real. It's so convincing. And we wind up, for Halloween, this is where he shared it with a bunch of other people. For Halloween, he brings in, even Aiden got to try it. And Aiden was, yeah, he was so thrilled with it. He brought in some Halloween apps. That one was called Face Your Fears. And in this one, it's only got two doors in it right now. You go through one door and you find yourself standing in a high-rise office building.
Sitting, more like.
Yeah, probably sitting, because you're in your chair. But you're in this high-rise, and it's got these huge, you know, full wall-sized windows, and you're looking out onto the cityscape, and you can look down and you can see that you are, you know, 100 floors up, and it is scary. But, you know, it's just virtual reality, it's not real, and you're also safely behind this glass, so what's there to worry about, right? Until, okay, the planes come flying by, and then you see the giant robot monster climbing up the building that the things are fighting, and then the whole front of the building gets sheared off, and now it's just you standing what looks like over the precipice looking down into open air, and you can see the ground directly below you, 100 stories down, and okay, that's not bad. All right, I can deal with this, because I don't know if you guys know, I have a thing for heights. I really have a problem with heights. They bug me badly. But I'm okay with this, because I know it's virtual. It's like watching, you know, the YouTube videos of the people working in high places, and, you know, it's a little creepy and scary, but I can deal with it. It's fine. But then the robot comes over and picks me up. And once I'm in motion, that's when it starts to throw me. As my point of view is shifting, that's when it starts to really set me off. And he sets me out on this long beam sticking out over the edge. And then later, as things go on, the beam starts to drop and swing and move. And the more things move, like I say, there's always this sense of vertigo as the thing will start shifting. And it's like I'm looking down, and all of a sudden it starts to move, and I can feel myself squirming until I can feel, like, physically feel my chair underneath me. And that's my reminder to go, okay, I'm safe. Everything's good. We're cool. And it was ultimately, at the end, you guys want me to just give it away? I'm just going to give it away. Like, you're going to go buy your own VR goggles and watch Face Your Fears, you know, in the next week. I knew the ending before I got to it, and it still freaked me out. Because the end is you fall. You fall all the way down to the ground. And the whole way down, falling in real time, you can look around yourself, you can see everything, and you watch that ground coming up at you, and then slam right into the bottom, and everything goes black, but you have this very distinct sensation, because there isn't that, you know, there's no actual physical jarring stop at the bottom, it's all visual. It's just like you hit the ground and everything just goes black. It feels, at least to me, for the life of me, as if I just sank 30 feet into the pavement. Like, it was the weirdest thing, guys. Really strange. But it was so much fun. And then the other room in this app, you go to the other door and you find yourself as a child tucked into bed.
Hey, whoa. And, you don't know that you're a child.
Okay, yeah. You're in a child's room and you're tucked into bed. Maybe you're a child, maybe you're just a creepy old man who likes to sleep in a child's room. But, you know, you're a child tucked into bed, and you can look down, you can see your body under the covers, and you can look around your room, and you can see, okay, there's the door to the bathroom, there's the door to the hallway, and, you know, dresser, windows, all this normal stuff. And then there's three books floating in front of you, and you get to choose which one you want for your bedtime story. And each one gives you a different scary story, and they are creepy.
Connoisseur, can I give my 2 cents on all 3 books?
You can come over here and do a quick review, since you got to experience all 3 of them. I never did the first book, so I don't know what that one was. But here comes Aiden, so give him just a second. Come on, good radio, man.
All right. So, there are 3 books. One was The Clown. One was The Ghost, and one was The Magician. The Clown was awful. Not scary enough for me. I was not spooked. It was just basically a clown doll that teleports around your room.
Not bad.
That's no. Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
The Magician was the next scariest. And it had a good moderate scare. Basically, you're just sitting in your room as things start to shift around and blocks start flying and scissors almost gouge your eyes out. And when it's virtual reality, scissors 2 inches from your eyeballs is actually quite terrifying.
It really was.
And basically, at the end, big old death hand comes out of your closet, drops a giant jack-in-the-box on your bed, and it starts winding. And you know it's coming. And once it pops, it launches something straight up. And it doesn't come down.
And
then when you look up, the kid drops down and screams in your face and you die.
Yeah, okay, and this is, let me clarify that. The this is one of the really cool things about how this one was constructed. I was really impressed with this. And I've never seen any VR movies and bits before, so I could be, you know, just easily impressed. But here's the thing. That jack-in-the-box goes off and shoots the thing up to the ceiling. And I'm just waiting because I know it's going to land on me. And I wait and I wait and nothing falls on me. So finally, I look up and there's nothing on the ceiling. So I look back down, and as I bring my head back down, there's this creepy ring-looking kid on my bed, right up in my face, screaming at me. And so that's the thing that I liked about this and the other story that Aiden will review here in just a second.
Did I mention that the clown was also controlled by the same kid?
Yeah, the Aiden will give you the other story in just a minute, but the idea that it waits for you. It knows which way you're looking, and that's built into the program. So as long as I stood there staring at that jack-in-the-box, waiting for something to fall on me, nothing was going to happen. It waited until I looked at the ceiling, and once I looked at the ceiling and saw that there was nothing on it, and then brought my head back down, then it pops out the kid and scares the pants off of me. I think I yelled and jumped really bad at that point, because it was that freaky cool. It was just so much fun. This is just a sample of the stuff that they have. Oh, wait. Do you want to talk about the third story?
Yeah, I would love to. It is the scariest one, and it is all the events in it are randomized, and it is a game of hide-and-seek with a ghost child in your bedroom.
Oh, it's so and scary.
So basically, you can't even be talked through it, because the events are random. It could be hiding behind the bookshelf in one run and then never do it again in the next three runs. But like how my run ended is it slowly, one by one, turns off all of your lights in your room. And because its eyes glow orange and that's how you usually spot it. And so I'm frantically looking around and I can't find this thing in the dark. And until I realize I look next to my bed, and it is sitting there crouched next to my bed with its eyes closed, waiting for me to look at it. And when I do, it jumps out and murders me.
Oh, God.
Would you like to tell them how yours ended?
How mine ended? Mine. Ugh, again, I get right up to the end, and in mine, I'm looking everywhere for him. I mean, I would
hear him breathe.
Right. And I could, that's the other thing, is the sound is really good. As long as you've got your headphones in the correct ears, you can actually hear. There was one point where I'm like, I can hear, oh, there's something moving over there. Sure enough, I turn, there he is. And then I can hear, he crawls into a vent, and I can hear thump, 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 thump. He's crawling through the ceiling, and I can hear him move from one side of the room to the other. Horrifying. But mine, I mean, I must have looked all around this room seven times. Nothing happens. I'm like, I've checked everywhere. I've checked every single spot. And then it finally occurs to me, oh, shit, I never looked up. Oh, God, I never looked up. And sure enough, there he is, kind of like perched upside down, crab walk style on the ceiling, and then does a flying leap at me, and
total poltergeist.
Yeah, really bad. So anyway, again, this is just a small taste of what these VR goggles do. There's a cute little movie with a rabbit and some aliens that the movie actually runs full 360. So there are parts where, I mean, you've got to turn completely around because the action just moved to the other side of you. And so you turn around and you're watching these aliens for a while. And then I realize I hear something behind me. I'm like, I haven't seen the rabbit for a while. And so as the aliens are being threatening on one side, I turn around and there's the rabbit cowering behind me at my feet, all as part of the same scene. And so, you know, you can set your focus on anything you want in here. If I had wanted to, I could have just, you know, stared off sideways into space for most of it and I would have missed 93% of the action. But it's just a really cool setup, and it was well designed in that it drew your attention to the right places with, you know, a little bit of sound here, a little bit of motion there, a flashing light, and it'll draw your attention to where it is that you need to be looking. And just super cool. Super cool. So anyway, I love the VR goggles. I have them on my Christmas list. I so hope I get a set for Christmas. And then, once we have one set in the house, anyone who has a smartphone can use that set. And you know, we'll share them around, and then, you know, if they become so popular that we need more than one in the house, we'll do that. But for right now, I think one will hold us over. I'm just so thrilled with this whole thing. It's just the weirdest experience to be inside of it. So it's very cool. All right, enough of that one. What's our next fingertip? McGovern. We were designing a campaign poster for Elijah, and it was for a civics project, and we're designing a campaign poster for him, and we had to come up with a slogan for him. And while we're looking for stuff, we're trying to find samples, we Google a few things. Lisa finds some buttons from like 1964. They are buttons for Richard Nixon, and they say, the buttons really say on them, McGovern can't lick our dick. I'm like, that is the greatest campaign button ever. And, you know, you do a little more research, and there was a bunch of variations on that same lick our dick theme. And none of them were official buttons, just like you can go out right now and find all sorts of Trump and Clinton buttons that are not official campaign buttons, but say all sorts of horrible things or funny things or weird things about either side. It's not 6:23, it's 5:23. Yeah, but thank you for keeping an eye on the time, buddy. So you know, it wasn't official, but I still thought it was really funny. So there you go. That was my McGovern point. Let's see. Pod people. Should I do pod people? Maybe. Yeah, you know what? What the heck? I'll do it. I'll give it a few minutes, and then we'll move on to other things. Well, wait. Let me see if there's anything else I want to talk about before I move on. Nope, that'll be it. I just, you know what? Every few months, I get tired of the podcasts I'm listening to. They're just, you know, I find that there's, you know, suddenly there'll be three or four in the list. I keep pushing to the bottom, and I just never quite get to them. And when I finally do run out of other stuff and I have to go to these, it's like, oh, I just realize I'm only listening to them because I feel obligated to listen to them. I wind up dreading it. I'm like, you know what? If I dread listening to them, why am I putting them on? If they're my least favorite and I don't want to get to them, I'd rather listen to anything else. Why don't I go find something else? And so I'll push out some, I mean, some of them even that, you know, I've listened to for years, and I'll just finally go, yeah, you know what? It's not doing it for me anymore. And so then I go out and I'll sweep up a whole bunch of brand new ones. You know, I'll put in like 12 new podcasts. And then out of those 12, half of them I never listen to at all. I just, you know what? I just never get to them and never get to them. And so finally I delete them. But the rest I will try them all out, you know, maybe for an episode, maybe for two or three episodes. And out of that, you know, out of this process, if I get, you know, two or three that I decide I'm going to keep and I hold on to for a while, I call that a win. That is a pretty good setup. And so, just recently, I've put back in, Doug Loves Movies because I had gotten tired of it. I just remember not being excited about Doug Loves Movies anymore. But I just listened to a couple episodes this week and I'm like, wow, this is really funny. This is good stuff. So, okay, I'm back to Doug Loves Movies. Let's see. Ronster recommended, Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. And Betty is a stewardess, which is not the proper term. She's a flight attendant. And, Betty the flight attendant does a podcast that is just the most feel-good podcast I have ever heard. And I work to be a feel-good podcast, but man, this woman has got it down. It's just cute little stories. And there's the one episode that I listened to, it's The Tale of Three Bettys, I think is the title of the episode. The one I listened to, I mean, there's these cute stories, funny stories. There's one story I'm like, oh, God damn you for making me cry. How dare you? But it was just sweet and touching, and I really recommend that one. I mean, again, I've only listened to the one episode, but if they're all like that, man, if you just want to feel good, it's a great one. I really liked Betty. She was awesome. So Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase, and then the other one that I'm really liking right now is Dead Pilot Society. And Dead Pilot Society is put together by guys who are TV and movie writers. And what their concept is, there are so many pilots out there and so many pilots that, you know, you come up with an idea and someone will buy your pitch. They buy just the idea, and that thus is your green light. You now have the money to go and actually write the full pilot script. And then you bring in the full pilot script and they get it filmed. And then, you know, they see if they like it. And then there's so many places where it could fail. Well, these are ones where the pitch was sold. Somebody liked it enough to buy the pitch, and so they went through and they wrote the entire pilot episode. And then they come back to the studio and the person who bought their pitch is no longer working there, or, oh, we've decided to go in a different direction, or whatever. So these are their dead pilots. These are pilots that were fully written and yet never even got a table read. We never even got to bring cast in. We never got as far as anything, much less getting it filmed, getting it picked up. This is just, they're dead. And so they said, you know what? There are some of these that we still think are really good. Because they know lots of people who are writers, and they all have pilots like this. And there's some that they still think are really good, so they've brought them in for table reads. That, you know, this is the only episode of this show that exists. And so they just, they bring in some actors, some of them famous, some of them not so much, and they all sit around the table, and they do it cold. They've never seen this script before. And then they just do a reading of the script. One of the guys, who's running this podcast is Ben Blacker, who is one of the guys from Thrilling Adventure Hour, which I also loved so much. I so miss Thrilling Adventure Hour. Great show. And which, by the way, if you've never listened to Thrilling Adventure Hour, I've told you many times, you can still go download all the episodes of Thrilling Adventure Hour, listen to them, start from episode one and listen all the way through. It is so worth your time. It is a great show. You will get so many hours of entertainment out of it, and then it'll be done and you'll be sad, but that's okay. You know what? It's great. And so I've listened now to two episodes of Dead Pilot Society, and both of them were phenomenal. Just really good, because the show comes in two parts. They do about 20, 30 minutes of just talking about this pilot and, you know, what the idea was, how they kind of came to where it was in development, what the story is about how it got bought and then how it never got made. There's a lot of behind the scenes Hollywood stuff, which is really fascinating. And then after 20, 30 minutes of that, then they clip to, okay, let's sit down and do our table read. And they're just entertaining as all get out. Both of these I listened to and I thought, damn, I wish these had been made into shows. These are funny. These are really good. So, check out Dead Pilot Society. So there you go. There's my Pod People segment. And now we are completely done with that. And I haven't brought it up yet, but we're going to move into the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me hammer on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number is 23, and I really thought by the time I got through that entire script and then gave you the number and all that, I would actually have the Pod-O-Matic list pulled up, but I don't. Man, I was struggling. I almost had it there. But there you go. Had to open the kimono there a little bit and reveal my weaknesses and foibles, the troubles of putting together a podcast. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Enough stalling. God, what was I thinking? Come on. Scroll, sheet. Scroll.
And also the struggles of an older, heavier man wearing a kimono.
Hey. I look hot in my kimono. You shut up. All right, there it is. It's 23. 23 is from Master. And Master says, would you rather get paid to sleep or get paid to stay awake? And how would you change your lifestyle if you were paid by the hour with no cap? Ooh. Well, then in that case, I would rather get paid to stay awake because I have a lot of fun when I stay awake. And I would actually, if I was just getting paid to stay awake and assuming I'm getting paid something, you know, comparable to what I'm doing now. But it's so tough because then, you know, when times are tough, am I going to wind up staying awake to the point of hurting myself, in order to make that extra money for whatever it is that we're falling short on? Am I going to wind up, you know, causing my health to suffer? Because, you know, sleep, I can't really bring myself to sleep. Well, I could, I mean, I can sleep a lot. I could, but am I really sleeping? I mean, I assume they're going to have monitors on me that tell me I have to be sleeping. I can't just be in bed with the covers over my head and then pretend I'm asleep and make an extra $50. I have to actually be sleeping, I would assume. So, you know, once I hit maximum sleep,
what service are you providing that they can pay you to sleep?
Once I change my lifestyle to sleep, you know, 10 hours a night, then that would be about the maximum if I went that way. But if I'm staying awake, you know, I can get by on 4 hours of sleep a night for a while if I have to. So, and also, by the way, assuming the exact same rate of pay, well, I'm awake more often than I'm asleep. So if you assume the same rate of pay, I would much prefer, to get paid for staying awake because that's more money. So, but how would I change my lifestyle? Probably not much. I would, I mean, again, there would be times where I'd feel the pressure to stay awake extra and I'd probably hurt myself doing it, but I would do it. But otherwise, another way I would change my lifestyle is if They were paying me enough to live on just for staying awake. Oh, well, hell, think of all the other extra stuff I could get done if I didn't have to go to work. I could spend more time with my kids. I could go volunteer.
I want to spend time with you.
Not you, the kids. You're an adult now, loser. Go up and volunteer at the school, have lunch with them, play way more games, do more writing, which I would tell myself I would do more writing. And by writing, I mean watching Netflix. So, you know, there's just all sorts of stuff you can get done. 59. Let me go ahead and number this before I lose track of it. There's one. And, yeah, I told you I'm on a time crunch today, and that's why I didn't bother to develop a script. I have got to get out of the house and back up to Cub Scouts with Noah. We've got a Cub Scout thing going on tonight. And we have to, no, we don't have to leave now, but we have to leave in 25 minutes. And I've still got listener betrayal to get through after this, so I never know how long listener betrayal is going to take, so I don't know when to start cutting this off. I may just wind up doing I might do just a 45-minute cast just to be safe. So, this is from Humongous, and Humongous says, does making a Halo, Star Wars, Harry Potter, etc. version of Monopoly make it any less boring of a game? No!
Monopoly form of Monopoly!
Yeah, that's true. You could play Monopoly, where each space is a different form of Monopoly.
No.
Monopoly is a terrible game. It is horrible.
Monopoly is how you ruin relationships.
It was a game designed as a lesson on how unrestrained capitalism is bad. The whole point of it was to show that, look, once one person starts taking over and owns more property than everybody else, then they can exploit everybody, and they just keep getting richer and richer while everyone else gets driven out of the game. Isn't that terrible? I don't think their lesson got across, but they did teach us that it's a really boring way to do things. So, yeah, no, they're still horrible, and I don't want to own any of them at all. Double aught. Let's go all the way down to number 100. And, oh, here we go. I know how spreadsheets work. I'm so proud. No, well, not really, but I can get by well enough to make it look like I'm competent. This one's from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, besides a con, where would be the coolest place for a Nerd Pride Radio meetup? Okay. The moon. Yes, that's exactly where we're going. We're going to settle up on the Mars colony, and we're all going to hang out. That would be the coolest. Or it would also be cool to get all of us together, say, in a research base at the bottom of the ocean.
An actual radio station.
Antarctica. No, not an actual radio station. I've been in those.
Nerd Pride Radio.
Yeah, no. But look, for my 40th birthday, 7 years ago, seven and a half now, I arranged for a animal ball get together, the Animal Con, as we were informally calling it, and we were all going to get together at Mahoney State Park in Nebraska, because it's pretty close to the center of the country. And I wound up getting their huge 20-person cabin there, and that's where everyone should have gone. Everyone should have showed up at that cabin, and we would have had a blast playing games all weekend. And instead, everybody canceled. I had 20, 30 people who all signed up. Everyone agreed to go. They were going to send me money. Some of them did send me money, which was very sweet of them. And then one at a time, every single person canceled. All of them. And so it wound up being me and a bunch of my wife's family, who, by the way, are all very cool, and I really like all of them. And so that was actually all right. And Lucy and her husband and her two kids at that time all showed up as well. And we wound up having a great weekend. And we still played some games, although not nearly as many as we would have otherwise. And we drank a lot of beer, and we ate a lot of food, and it was a gorgeous cabin, and it was just a really good time. I mean, it was really fun. It was these are luxurious cabins. Man, that was nice. And so we had an awesome time for the weekend. And I would love to do something like that again. I think that would be a blast. But anyway, that's me. Last one is number 77. Yeah, and Aiden says we should do that again for my 50th. And then maybe people will actually show up this time. But we'll see. I'm a little gun shy now.
We're looking at you, Nelly.
So, Number 77 is from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, religious ponderings. If we contact alien life that is as or more intelligent than us, how does this affect religion? Do the Scientologists win? No, because Scientology is still stupid. And wouldn't it be great to meet aliens and then have the Scientologists explain their theory to them and ask about Xenu and have them be laughed out of the place? I mean, not that it would change anybody's mind about anything. I don't think meeting aliens changes existing religions all that much. I really don't. And in fact, more than anything, I think it would potentially add a couple of new religions, or at least another couple new spiritual philosophies, even if they don't call themselves religions. But yeah, I don't think it alters much. I mean, it would alter a lot about how people live their lives, about how they view the cosmos in general. The idea of what's out there and what's possible. There's going to be a lot of fear, but also a lot of aspiration. And ultimately, I don't think religion will change as much as everyone thinks it might. So one more. 12. Number 12 is from the top of the list. There it is. 12 is from Mrs. Darks again. All right. Mrs. Darks says, do you think that chivalry is dead? Or do you think that it lives on in acts of kindness and just plain not being a dick?
Okay. I have something to say.
Okay. Hold on. Because the answer, all right, and then I don't understand the last part of this because, let's see. Probi imonto este. Be virtuous and cool. The motto of the Order of the Knights of Jubal. Oh, really? I've never heard of that. That is very interesting. Look, in general, I don't think chivalry is dead. I think the classic idea of chivalry is extremely outdated. And, the idea of the noble man deferring to I think it is in a way, traditional chivalry as it's often practiced, I think is sexist and, condescending. But yeah, certainly as you describe it, just don't be a dick. Just be nice to everybody. There's no reason it has to be men extending courtesy to women as is the traditional idea, but rather, the idea that everybody can do this for everybody.
See, so my problem is that I work in a movie theater, and I see a lot of people coming in to a very expensive place as a couple, and then they have to decide either outside of our building or inside of our building who is paying. And half of the time, it ends in a fight, and the winning party goes, well, I'm not going to pay for this shit. That stuff's expensive. And I'm like, really? Really? You can't just be nice this once and pay for it for the person you love?
That's honestly... So you're saying when they're fighting over who's going to pay, they're honestly fighting over they don't want to pay?
Right.
Oh my God. That is so alien to me.
Happens all the time. And it happens more often with young couples.
Wow, that is so alien to me because I'm used to fighting over the check when we go to a restaurant, but it's usually because we're fighting over who to pay.
Let me pay for it.
Right. Like we've gone out to dinner with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and I don't need any prompting, but my wife will still prompt me anyway. You make sure you get that check before he does. Like, I know that. In fact, there's been times that I've had to go up to the counter and just say, yeah, I'll just take the ticket up here and get it paid for right away, because if I don't, he's going to pick up the tab and pay for my entire family. I mean, it's just the two of them and six of us, and he's going to pay the tab for everybody? I mean, look, once in a while he gets the check, that's fine. But you know, we got three times as many people. If it's always going to be one person paying, we should be doing it at least three times as many times as they are. So that's just me. I can't imagine going in and fighting over, no, it's your turn to pay. No, I'm not doing it. No,
I paid for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I paid for dinner. Oh, Jesus. That is terrible. Okay. Well, you know what? I revised my answer. Chivalry is dead. There you go. And that's the end. Let me turn it on over to GLaDOS.
Chivalry is dead, and I killed it.
GLaDOS is going to give you a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Just Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use as bumpers here are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want instructions on making your very own pocket mod because they are so damn cool? Go on over to pocketmod.com. Absolutely free. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks Versus, Cast and the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. I realize I'm getting down into my morning radio voice, and I'm really trying to break myself of that.
No. So, go into NPR. That's what everyone wants.
No, I can't do NPR. I'm not good at that accent.
This podcast is copyright.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So, but I can't get they have an actual distinct dialect for NPR, and I can't do it. So, I'll just do what feels good. So,
NPR, the original ASMR.
So, don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all that grueling research. There we go. That's the best I can do. So,
Sunday.
That's exactly right. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio, nerdprideradio.com/nerds, /nerds. I'm sorry.
Let's
get a soundboard. Nerds. God, I so want to. Sign up. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world because I'll be way more sincere than I'm being now. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal.
Listener Betrayal.
I'm sorry. Before I start every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and out to Facebook, and I post up, hey, I'm recording an episode. Anyone who wants to get down on this is perfectly welcome to do so. I'll read them all right off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. Starting off with Facebook, first comment is from Nelly. And Nelly says, how important to you is theme in gaming? ? Or pure mechanic? ? Is flawed mechanic redeemable by theme? Or do you prefer games with very little? Oh, I get it. Okay.
All right.
Theme is a lot.
I have an answer for this one.
Sure.
Whether it be card game, board game, or video game, a dead mechanic cannot be redeemed by any means. If it is a mechanic that just doesn't work for the game, no matter how brilliant your theme is, your game is broken, and that is a reflection on your game, whether it has a great theme or not. So no, a theme cannot redeem a bad mechanic.
Yes, okay, I was thinking in role-playing games, where in role-playing games, look, a great story, a great background, a really interesting, intricate setup can make up for a lot of horrible, horrible mechanics. But if it comes to, yeah, board games or card games, the theme is way less important to me than, I mean, look, I like games that have an interesting theme. I like the idea that Tricked Out Heroes was a trick-taking game then combined with a Dungeons & Dragons style combat system, and it was really fascinating, and if it didn't have that D&D-esque theme over the top of it, would not have been nearly so much fun or nearly so interesting. But yeah, it's gotta have a good mechanic. It's gotta have, that, like, if I was just playing it as a straight game without that theme laid over the top, it would still need to be interesting to me in some way and do something really cool. So yeah, in that sense, when it comes to board games and card games, yeah, mechanic is really important to me. But theme still counts. An interesting theme makes the game just that much more lovable. I mean, look, go play Exploding Kittens, go play one of the, and now he's got a new one, called Bears versus Babies. And those games both will be, cause you can go watch the video and see how Bears versus Babies is played. It's pretty straightforward monster building. And they're both cool. All right. But if it wasn't the theme of the oatmeal putting in, exploding kittens, if it wasn't, you know, Bears versus Babies, the whole idea of building these awesome, awesome creatures to eat these terrible, terrible babies, wouldn't be nearly as much fun, at least from the look of it. So, you know, but again, mechanic is still important. It's still gotta be a fun mechanic, at the end of it. So anyway, Sarah Beth adds to that one, says, "Ooh, I want to answer too. Good story for me and theme can overcome a lot of mechanical flaws. If the mechanic is way over complex, would be the possible deal breaker. Great mechanic with little theme is okay, I guess. Then it's got to be fast moving." Yeah, look, and for role playing games, that's exactly my opinion on role playing games. So, I agree with you on that. But for board games, card games, different. All right. Sarah Beth then says, "I have so much anxiety about Tuesday that I can't even sleep. How are you coping?" And Nellie replies to that, "Me too. It's awful. What's coming up on Tuesday? Is there anything going on this week?"
The election!
Oh, Noah says it's the election.
All right, the end of the world is happening.
Yeah. Look, I'm with you. I've been there all week for the last few months, been checking constantly, and the fact that we're, you know, it's 2-1 in Hillary's favor right now, which to me and to you guys as well is a good thing, and that's awesome. And there's still that chance that, look, there's so much uncertainty in this election. There's so many people still calling themselves undecided, the largest number of undecideds ever at this point in an election. So there's a lot of people that still could come down different ways on this. And we're seeing some positive signs for Hillary in that, you know, early voting returns are all showing her coming out better than expected, but that's for early voting. You know, who knows if, you know, the people who are voting on election day are different from early voters and in what way. You know, we're also seeing signs that, you know, in certain demographic groups, the undecided people tend to lean more towards Hillary than towards Trump. We've seen, you know, positive stuff coming out of a lot of areas. That of the new registered voters, the majority of new registered voters are registering, or at least more Democrats are registering than Republicans out of new voters coming up, which makes sense because new voters still tend to be largely young people, but also young people will often register and then not vote. So, you know, there's a balance. And there's also a possibility that, look, yes, there's all these positive signs on the one side, but then on the other hand, you know, look, maybe there's a huge contingent of Trump voters out there who are strongly Trump, but don't get reached by the polls because the polls have to find ways of contacting people. And maybe these are people who aren't willing to respond to polls or aren't contacted by traditional means, because of their distrust of authority. That puts them over on the Trump side. Their dissatisfaction with the system, their desire to watch the world burn, their, you know, whatever. There's all sorts of things that could go really wrong. And so, you know, as they say, you know, like, we're within a standard deviation of Trump pulling this out. Like, yes, all the signs say Hillary will probably win, but again, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Trump might pull it off. And I cope with it by imagining what will happen if Trump is president and looking for best possible scenarios and hoping that maybe he'll be so terrible that it spurs real change. Maybe he'll be a lazy president which, by the way, him being so terrible that he spurs real change would also mean lots of terrible things happen. Lots of horrible things go on, but hopefully real change comes out the other end of it, and change in a positive direction where we actually start finding real solutions. You know, I'm also hoping that maybe he's just a lazy president. Maybe it's enough for him to just be president and then turn over the running of the country to other people who are more qualified to do it while he just sits back and takes the credit for it. That wouldn't be as bad either. But either way, a Trump presidency is going to suck. So I'm hoping it doesn't happen. What, you have an opinion?
No, I'm just crunched for time. I'd like to finish the podcast before I have to go to work.
Okay, yeah, he also has to leave within just a couple of minutes to get to work So let's go to, that was the end of Facebook. So let's go over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and let's check out listener betrayal. Here we go. I have at least one and let me, oh, I have several. Oh, this is going to take a while. Let's get through them quick. Sorry, guys. Shouldn't have wasted so much time earlier on those Podomatics. I should have cut them off early. Should have done 3 instead of 5. Oh, well. Live and learn, right? Okay. Done. So, first one is from Stan. And Stan says, Philippa was a... Oh, okay. Yeah, I said, hey, tell me about the most recent character that you've created for a role-playing game. Philippa was a halfling bard airship pilot. She was raised by a gnome and a warforged couple in their mechanic shop, and she did beat poetry on the side. Her whole world came to a sudden stop. She was a character in a play by Post game that died an early and mysterious death. Mike, when will you recognize the beauty that is Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition? Never. Yeah, it's not going to happen, man.
Which edition did we use?
When we played Dungeons & Dragons,
yeah,
we were playing D&D 3 and 3.5, and then you and I, when we were at Gen Con together, we tried 4th edition while we were there. Yeah, wasn't thrilled with 4th edition. And, yeah, I understand 5th is supposed to be awesome. Yeah, just not doing it. Look, I got limited game time, and, you know, a lot of it's dedicated to my game night stuff and board games and card games with my kids and... Pathfinder with my kids and Pathfinder Online.
Fantasizing about Magic the Gathering.
And, yeah, Magic the Gathering, playing Paranoia by email. I just don't have a lot of slots for fitting in a new version of Dungeons & Dragons when I already play Pathfinder. So, all right, next. Mrs. Dark says, you'll just have to wait to hear Samadriel's story, Sam's story. She's in our Pathfinder game. Sam and Anna were the new elves that joined us. Now they've been with us for a while, but... They're the newest members of the group, and Sam has yet to write a backstory and deliver it to us. So, says, you'll have to wait to hear Sam's story till I have time to write it. She's an elven exalted of Desna. Anyway, yesterday was National Redheads Day. How did you celebrate us? By...
I hugged my friend John.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I also hugged John. That's weird. Yeah, and not yesterday, but I hug John every time I see him because he insists on it. He's weird that way.
Yeah.
But as far as yesterday, I read all sorts of... I read all sorts of interesting pictures and memes and stuff being passed around on Facebook by people celebrating National Redheads Day. So that was my contribution. Next is Kaz Monster. Kaz says, hi, Mike. Long time, no questions. I know, I'm glad you caught me. I need your opinion here on a tabletop game. How long is too long to play? How long is too long to set up? Tilecraft is going through... Tilecraft is Kaz's board game version of Minecraft, which is really cool.
All right.
But, hold on. Tilecraft is going through some major renovations, and since you game more than me, I want to know. Also, what kind of tacos are you having Tuesday? I'm probably not having any tacos on Tuesday because the diet. I'm trying to be good. So, all right, what's your opinion?
All right. Setup should take no longer than 15 to 20 minutes for any game ever. And playtime depends on how fast-moving your game is and how fun it is. For something that would be like Minecraft, I'd say an hour and a half maximum.
That's actually about reasonable. I was going to say 15 to 20 minutes to set up seems about right. And hopefully they set up faster than that. Faster is better for setup, but, you know, things happen. You know, lots of games have tons of tiny little pieces, and you have to sort everything out and keep it in order. But, you know, it would be... ideal if your setup was under 10 minutes. But you could go out longer than that if there's interesting processes to the setup that also make it fun to do, as opposed to just laying things out. That's all right. But yeah, to me, really, 2 hours is about a max time on a game. And any game that's over 2 hours, look, I'll play them and I'll enjoy them a lot, but I don't look forward to going back to them because it's such a huge time commitment. I like a good, hour and a half to 2 hours is about my favorite. But, you know, there are other people who really enjoy playing Risk for 6 hours or playing Axis and Allies for 4 or 5. It just happens, and that's all right. You know, there's people who enjoy that. But for me personally, if you can keep it to an hour and a half, I think Aiden's right. So, next is, Reginald. Reginald is back. Ah. Hey, Mike, me again. I know, I just said Reginald is back. Were you not listening? Can you tell us your favorite movie of all time? It can't be Pulp Fiction. Okay. Jackass. And if you could answer in the form of interpretive dance, that would be best. Come on, do it. You chickened out on my last one. All right. All right. Now, you can see here the shape of the sunrise. And now I'm sweeping gracefully into, I know it looks kind of like a chicken, but it's more of a pterodactyl, a graceful pterodactyl. Okay. And now, oh, wait. I duck way down here. All right. And yeah. Okay. There. Whew. All right. Did you get that? That was Shakespeare in Love. That was. I'm just, look, I don't know what my favorite movie is. No, Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest is my favorite movie of all time. And. This is the best part. If I wanted to do Galaxy Quest, same dance. So, yes, because they are both meta commentaries on form of the item, loving parodies of the items that they are making fun of. So, I like both of those a lot. But I just watched Shakespeare in Love again about 3-4 days ago, and it was really good. All right. And it's Kaz Monster. He says, Guardians 2 versus Logan. Which is the better trailer? Haven't seen either one.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, straight up.
Yeah, you've seen both trailers?
Yep.
Yeah.
I work in a theater. I've seen every trailer.
Oh, duh, of course you have. Yeah, look, Logan, from everything I've heard of it, I don't... As much as I want to see Old Man Logan, but... I don't have faith in the people behind the X-Men franchise anymore, and I don't care. I really don't. I mean, I'll see it, but I don't care so much. Whereas Guardians 2, I'm really looking forward to it, and super excited about Guardians 2, but I haven't seen either trailer, so I can't speak to them. Okay, we're all done. That's it. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for helping me out, even though it was on short notice. I really love you guys. It's going to be an awesome week. I will talk to you next time. Bye.